Here we are. This is June 30th, p.m., nighttime service, temperature 79 degrees for those out there that are dying in 100 degrees plus weather. Move up to North Dakota, and you'll have free air conditioning for most of the day. Let's continue on. This morning, we looked at the question, or the questions anyway, is where is God in my life on a daily basis? How can things be so bad? Why is not God coming through and helping me? I thought he loved me. I thought he was there for me. And which then just kind of moseys on into hatred. With all this hatred that's going on, where is God? I don't see God doing anything out there. So their final conclusion is, I don't think there's any God, which is what I know people get to eventually. So this morning we looked at where is God? Say, we looked at the lost world and why there's no God, that kind of thing. He's not there for him, da da da. We talked about that stuff this morning. Tonight, I thought we would kind of just continue that by looking at a couple other things when we realize the position or such of the lost world out there. Why would they ever expect God to show himself? They don't believe him anyway. And a Christian, a so-called Christian today, is, to me, probably not really a Christian. They're religious, and we know religion doesn't do anything. We'll probably talk about that pretty soon. And so this world out there who's supposedly looking for God, where they are looking for God is on Mars Hill, like Paul says, the unknown God. They have no idea about this God. So if we study this rightly divided King James Bible and stay away from all the doctrinal issues, and I don't want to say doctrinal issues because we still put forth the doctrine, but if we just look at a rightly divided Bible through Paul, we'll have an understanding. Sad to say, as I've been checking out some other websites and Mid-Acts things and Baptist things and 1611 things and Paul things and all that, I see such an emphasis on things that this is just me. I mean, this is not why I talk about that stuff. I see things being talked about that just, I don't understand why they talk about what they do, other than the guy who probably has plenty of time to study wants to get into some of that other stuff, and I don't know what that's going to do for their judgment seat. I don't know what it's going to do for their understanding of things the way they are. I don't see anybody teaching, like I said, say a thousand times, you know, teaching Timothy and Titus. They may pull a couple of verses out of Timothy, but not much. They don't get into the tough ones, and especially Titus chapter 2. It says right in there that's what we're supposed to exhort and preach, etc. So anyway, this whole thing about where is God today, and people put out there the love of God, you know, and unconditional love and the whole thing, and they probably like that when they hear it. But when things start to get tough or get active in their lives, they wonder where God is at. Why did God allow this? Why am I in the mess that I'm in? Where was God? Why didn't he tell me not to do this? Well, let's go to Romans for a minute here. Let's look at a couple other things. The world that's out there, why is it so bad? Let's just get back into that subject. Why is it so bad? And then we'll look at a little bit of hatred again tonight. Romans chapter 9, verse 8, for example, here. Here's why things are getting so bad. We went through Romans chapter 1 this morning, which is a great chapter on what's going on in this world. It gets worse and worse. Romans chapter 9, verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. So we have a world which we know from Genesis 3 has been cursed. Women's got their problems and men have got theirs. Devil's got his and the world has its. So the children of the flesh, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. So that's why the world is the way it is. The flesh is what the flesh is. And if a person could grow to understand that, they would understand that salvation takes place, a legitimate, honest salvation takes place when your flesh and your soul are separate, cut apart. Your soul and spirit cut away, Colossians chapter 2, 11 through 16, cut away in this operation made by God, this operation made without hand, operation of God, operation made without hand, spiritual circumcision of Christ. So, who teaches that? I don't see that in any other websites, mid-Acts, post-Acts, early-Acts, gospel guys, King James guys? I mean, where are they talking about this? And people I've talked to never heard of it. Well, it's in Colossians. I mean, I'm not trying to make some weird thing. This is like, let's say, a Ruckman teaching, you know, weirdness. No, it says what it says right there. And because of that, it helps us understand so many things. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Pages are turning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So this is why the world is the way it is. We shouldn't be surprised. Not at all. We go to look at verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This world is full of people who are dead in trespasses and sins. They can call it not sin. They can say, I'm not doing something wrong if they want, but put it up against the King James Bible. Rightly divided, of course. We find out that this world is still in this cursed situation. What is so different about, why is that such a hard thing? Down in verse 12, we know that verse. These people out there are without Christ. They're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Can you imagine being without God? Well, they don't think they're without. A lot of them don't think they're without God. Yeah, but the God they have is an unknown God in so many ways. The pastors aren't teaching them anything about Him. They're not looking up to read about Him. They read other books and things, but that doesn't teach them anything about God. They got a King James Bible if they're fortunate, but then they don't know how to rightly divide it. It's still a mess. So, you know, they really are without God. And I can't imagine. I would be a real rebel rouser, well, maybe not at this age anymore, but with the things going on in politics, boy, I would just be getting upset. I would be really getting out there and trying to get the message out that we got a country that's falling apart and it's being stolen and it's being destroyed. I mean, this guy exposes all the things going on in the government that are just flat illegal, and the only issue is why did he expose that stuff? He's the one in trouble. I would be yapping about that stuff, making a big scene, especially as a teacher. But I know why things are the way they are. We understand that sort of a thing. So this is what's going on out there. If we go to Ephesians, we did that risk of Colossians chapter 2. Right in the middle of this of that talk right there, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, says, "And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him." Well, this is what people are, dead in their sins. Uncircumcision of your flesh. So, this is why things are the way they are. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Nice thing about doing this on the internet is that nobody can see the pastor turn his pages the wrong direction when he's going to go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, for example. It says here, three words in there is the word hatred. Well, see, hatred is the work of the flesh. So we got people that are still attached as such to their flesh, and so they are full of hatred. Well, does that mean then that Jesus wants us all to get rid of all of our hatred and love everybody, love everything, because this is what everybody's saying out there? And yet the people that fall for that after a while come to realize that, hey, wait, this God that makes me love everybody, I'm getting really run over the coals here. I'm losing my job. I'm losing my money. I'm losing my health. I'm losing my kids. Where's God at? Where's this God at that loves everybody so much? Why are we having such earthquakes? Why are we having such tsunamis? Why are we having such heat? Is this the global warming thing? Is this judgment on God? And the list goes on and on. Well, they love everybody. Well, Jesus loves everybody. Well, there's more to it than that, but we won't get into that here. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. We've been there this morning. Romans chapter 1. Let's go there again. Romans chapter 1. We will see in verse 30. There's that word again. Haters of God. So these people that are moseying around here are God haters. Well, look, what about Romans 11, chapter 22? Not only do they hate God, but even the Christians, the so-called Christians, or at least the religious ones, in chapter 11, don't even like the goodness of God. Because that's the signal, or we call it a signal, when God is going to do the rapture thing and take the Gentiles out of here, Gentile nation, be done with them, not that there's going to be many left, and goes off into the tribulation for his own people again. It's because they hate, not just haters of God, but they don't want to hear about the goodness of God. And we know where that's coming from. We know people don't want to hear that today. So, this thing about hatred, you know, let's look at Acts 23. Acts chapter 23, let's go down here to verse 11. Now let's go down to 12 here. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And on it goes. That conspiracy still exists today. I mean, Paul is dead and gone, but his teachings are still here, and they're still trying to get rid of Paul's teachings. So they preach at us about not having love, and they don't even love God himself. Paul, the only apostle that we're supposed to follow in the King James Bible, they don't love any of that stuff. So who are they to talk about love versus hatred, you know, really? So what about a Christian here? Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Let's look at something interesting here about hatred for a Christian. Romans chapter 7. If somebody were to ever tell you that, you're supposed to love everybody, et cetera, et cetera, hate is not of God. Well, I'm sorry, but hate is of God. For example, Romans chapter 7, here's Paul. Let's go down here to verse 15. And he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So we know that what the flesh gets us to do, we should hate that. Most of the time, we like that. But we're to hate that. By the time Paul's done with this little sermon of his, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He was ready to go all the time. But, you know, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. And he hates what his sin, what his choices were when it comes to following the flesh. So we could, there's a hatred there for us. How about Romans 12? Romans 12, verse 9. He says in the second half of that verse, abhor that which is evil. Abhor is a hatred, is a deeper hatred. Let me pull this up for me. I meant to write that down. See if this thing pops up here at all here, without messing up all my stuff here. The definition of abhor is pretty good. To hate extremely, with contempt, to loathe, to detest, to cast off. We hate something so much that we deal with it, we get rid of it. That's how much we should hate the things that we do that we know that aren't right. They're not just something that's going to bring in the judgment seat of Christ. They're things that we should hate to where we actually turn away from it if we all possibly can, knowing that it's our flesh. And it's a battle all the time. Well, so we know that this is a cursed world. We know that there's religion out there making people be deceived. We've got pastors that are deceiving and being deceived. We've got the devil knowing how to go after the Paul teachings just as much as any other religion out there. So the Paul teachings turn into a religion, turn into a denomination as well. And it's a mess, I'll tell you. But let's just look at a couple of verses that we'll deal here with curse and hate. For example, in John, we'll go to the book of John. That's okay. John chapter 3, verse 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Well, that's a dispensational thing? No, that's just what it is. This is why we still read the Gospels. This is why we still read Hebrews to Jude, Revelation, Old Testament. There's truths in there that are still in existence. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Just happens to be, wait a minute, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Well, let's look at this lousy music that's going on in the churches. Why do people come to that? Well, it's not light. It just continues to shed darkness upon their darkness, that music that is going on. You know, it says in John chapter 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, Well, if you just give the world the average Joe Blow Jesus, they don't really hate him like they used to. There's supposedly, you know, this revival going on, or the world's catching on. Well, yeah, because they're getting ready for the Antichrist. There can't be a total hatred towards Jesus, because they have to be wanting to see Jesus come out of the sky, but he's one that's actually compromised himself to teach the people false doctrine, so then they see the story, there's a circle thing. But the real Jesus, well, sure they don't like the real Jesus, sure they hate him, because the only place you find about the real Jesus and the real God and the real doctrine is in the King James Bible, rightly divided through Paul, and chances are not through any denominational Paul place either, from what I've seen on websites. Everybody still just wants to have that congregational gathering. I wouldn't mind getting together with everybody, but in order for me to keep you coming in the door, I've been there, I've done this, I'd have to change some of the things I talk about. Because some of the things that deal with our walk and following Paul, I know people that listen to these things don't follow those things. But, and it's flesh, we know that, we understand all that stuff, we have an understanding. But it's hard to be around that stuff when you got kids and everybody's listening to what they're listening to or wearing what they're wearing, and it's testimony and example and end samples and all that stuff. It's a pretty good mess out there. We are becoming our own little world. We got our own little selves. Even the families don't want to hear this stuff anymore. The workplace, you got to balance it in there somehow. Just being the Christian, without saying a thing, just being the Christian is a tough deal anymore. Because being the Christian, you're not going to be like all the other Christians that are at work or in your family. Because we know where that's at. Ah, it's good to see Michael popping in. So, there is a hate there. He that loveth his life shall lose it. John 12:25. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. We know what he's talking about in the Gospels. But we still have people that love their life more than they love God, more than they love Paul's teachings, more than they love their Bible, because they're busy doing that other stuff. Sometimes they're just so busy we can't help it, and that's another trick of the devil, is he keeps us so busy not to do these things. And we're aware of that. We just thank God for his grace and his forgiveness and his long suffering, knowing that what we're going to do, a lot of it's going to burn. We have that understanding. And see, it says here in John 15:18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Well, that's true. But they got rid of him. He's not the Jesus, he's not the real Jesus in their Bibles. He's not the deity Jesus in their Bibles. You know, he's just not. And so, they don't hate him like they used to, but to get to the real Jesus in the real Bible, talk about it with them, then they get pretty hateful. So he goes on and talks in the book of John, quite a bit about how they hate the world and how they're going to hate. But see, he's talking here about the Jews, actually. It's the Jews that will be hated. Well, we know that the Jews are hated. But it certainly isn't because the Jews are fulfilling what the risen Christ has taught. They just hate the Jews because they hate the Jews. It's God's. So yeah, they hate the Jews. Well, they hate God. No, they don't. No, they do. That's the world. There's a hatred out there. And this is all referring, actually, to the Jews versus Christ. If the world hate you, Jews, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So they got rid of Jesus out of the Bible. Now he's got to get rid of the Jews off the world, and they will suppose that they'll be happy. John 15:25, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Why do you hate the King James Bible? Give me an answer. Is it because you can't understand it? We can fix that. That's baloney. Your pastor taught you that. Well, I don't like the these and the those. Well, we can explain that too. That has a very good grammatical reason for it. It makes total sense. It's not hard to understand that thing. Da 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 da. Well, it's too hard to read. No, it's a fifth grade level book. Yeah, but the bookstores say that it's up to college level. Well, doesn't that just say how bad off our readers have become in this country? That a Bible, a book that maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago was a fifth grade level book is now difficult for college kids and adults. The Bible hasn't changed any. It's still easy to read. So there is no reason to hate, there's no reason to hate Paul. Look at the message Paul has. What is so crazy about spiritual circumcision, as we tend to call it? when you realize what it does, and it really, you realize it comes from the Bible, King James Bible, Paul's books, and it explains the separation from the flesh and our soul that has to take place in order for all this other stuff to work. What's the reason to hate Paul and his teachings? Well, we can't work, or we can't wear this, or we can't go there. We have to behave like aged person, aged women, aged men, da-da-da-da. Yeah, but Christians, you got a lot worse. You got bigger problems out there. You got all the reasons, all the things you've got to put up with and everything, and then the world that's out there. You've got, you know, in so many cases, the world is more modest. More and more ladies are staying home to take care of their kids. I've been reading that sort of a thing. But now we're getting more and more men are staying home to take care of their kids too, and you watch the TV commercials, it's the guy that's home doing this with the joy and dawn, and it's the woman that comes home, and the guy's got the dishes done and no grease. We see what's going on. It's just, of course it has to do that. Okay, so, hatred. Titus, chapter 3, verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes hateful. So hateful is a lost person's thing, and we looked at the fact that Christians still can hate the things that they do, they know they shouldn't do that, and we should abhor, which is even an even deeper hatred towards that which is evil. Unfortunately, Isaiah chapter 5, again, I'm repeating myself, I know, Isaiah chapter 5 says things that are evil are going to be called good. So if we're going to hate evil, if we're going to abhor evil today, to the world out there, it's, what do you mean evil? That's not evil. It's okay. Well, no, not really. You know. Years ago, I did a sermon, everybody gets so upset about homosexuality, and the reason they use it, because it's against nature. Well, that's true. And I'm not discounting that, or whatever, condoning, is that the word? It means you approve it? No, I'm not approving that. But just remember that long hair in a man is against nature, too. So why don't we preach that as hard as they're preaching on the street about homosexuality, etc.? So they're both against nature. Do a study sometime about what's against nature and see where we're at. It's kind of an interesting study. But anyway, continuing on here. Here's an interesting thing here. Let's look at the word curse for a minute here. Curse for one moment here. Matthew, in Matthew 25, there's something people ought to know, because they get really mad at God. How could God send people to hell? How could God? That's not my kind of a God that would send any of us to hell just because we don't do what he wants. Well, that, you're missing the point, you know, whoever says something like that. Then shall he say also unto them in the left hand, depart from me, you're cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and angels. Well, you know, why are you going to everlasting fire? There's no need to. He didn't make it for you. But because of hate and because of evil and because of sin versus goodness of God and heaven and sinlessness up there, then he's even come down here to make sure that we can still go there. What else do you want out of him? So don't blame God for people going off to hell. That is their choice. And he gave them a book that's understandable and... you know, don't get mad at God for this stuff. It says here in Galatians chapter 3, for example, also in verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So there is another reason there's so much curse and hatred out there. But if we go to verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So again, back to why blame God for all the negative, for all the bad, for all the hatred, for the hell talk and the fire and brimstone? Why get mad at God for something like that? He'll redeem you from the curse of the law. He'll take care of it. He'll become your curse. He'll take care of it for you. And he did, but all you have to do is believe it, but you don't want to believe that sort of a thing. Then we get into some religion here regarding this world that's going out there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. I think you're aware of those verses as well, but let's read them anyway here. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, now who would be hearing somebody else preach a gospel of some sort? It'd be the religious people, Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, must be important, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And we know what's coming across in the pastors out there, the churches and the pulpits, the websites, they're not preaching the gospel. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter, how do they say that here? 1 Corinthians, is it 2 Corinthians here? Let me check it out here. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, that's the gospel he's talking about here. No, we're talking about Paul's gospel. Because if I noticed a thing on the TV, well, these worthless TV stations swinging by, the one of them is a religious station, and they're talking about the everlasting gospel. Well, the everlasting gospel is in the book of Revelation. Let's see if I can find this thing. I think it's 16, somewhere in there like that. Everlasting gospel. Let's see here. I'm probably going to have to get out my concordance to find it here. Come on now, let's just save time. Let's just pull it off the concordance thing here. I thought I had it marked. I probably do. I'm probably going to be disappointed when I find it because I'm going to know where it's at. But let's just do the quick trick here. I was right. Revelation 14, verse 6. I just didn't see it. There it is. And there's there, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them. So here's a guy today telling people the everlasting gospel. I mean, what's he doing? He's prepping the people for the Antichrist, you know, because he's preaching the wrong gospel today. Oh, it's just amazing stuff what's going on here. So religion is totally cursed. Well, of course it is. It's not the truth. We have no problem with that. Okay, so to answer the person's question who says, where is God? Well, get your Bible out and read it. That's where you'll find God. What's he going to do for you? What's he going to do for you? First of all, learn what he's already done for you. And then get in the Bible and he'll tell you what you can do for him. And then as a result, by the way, you'll actually suffer for that. Well, who wants that? But then he reminds everybody, you got to read your Bible to see this stuff. We're not willing to see that the sufferings today, compared to the glory that's coming, it's nothing today. We're stuck in this world. We're stuck with these whinings and these persecutions and this uncomfortable life we're having to live. We should be aware that there's a conspiracy against Paul. There's always been a conspiracy against the Bible, conspiracy against Jesus himself, conspiracy against God in the Old Testament. That's what's going on. Boy, I got the belches this afternoon, this evening. Sorry about that. I'm sure you're hearing them. We went to Genesis 3. We can't forget about that sort of a thing. We can't forget about Romans chapter 2, the conscience that the Gentiles had, Ephesians being dead in sins, Colossians, Romans, children of the flesh. This is what's going on. And people have to read. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, then we'll finish up with 1 Thessalonians. This is truly what's going on. And they're asking questions that would be answerable in the Bible, but they've rejected the Bible for so long that they're not even interested in it. They really don't want to hear the answers anyway. And he says, not to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. So that's what's going on. People are being deceived by any means, for that day shall not come except they're coming falling away first. So we know this all has to be taking place. We just understand that. This is what has to take place. So we know what's going on. And I thought of a verse I wanted to quick go to. Oh, I know what it is. And then let's actually finish up here. Actually finish up 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Where Paul says, you know, he says, listen, would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, which Paul will do eventually. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's what's going on. So when people ask questions like, why is there so much hate? Why isn't God there for me? They've been taught the wrong God. They've been taught a religion. They don't see anything working. They don't understand all these things, and the devil is tricking their minds. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, which is what they're doing, Paul's afraid you might bear with him. And that's exactly what's going on. And yet, religion isn't going to die because they have the Antichrist coming. If they want to get rid of religion, rid of Jesus, rid of God totally, then fine, but they can't because he still has to come and take care of the world. Well, people are going to fall for it. It's just the way it's going to be. So, people today are being geared for it, prepped for it, and they ask questions like that. Where is God? Why so much hatred? Why doesn't God stop this hatred? Well, it's a cursed world. He gave you an out. My question to you is, why won't you take his out? Why do you want to just complain about it and just ignore the truth of God? But they do. And they're doing it more and more. We have a high-tech world that has nothing to do with God. We have churches that have nothing to do with God. We have Paul people that are being mixed up with some things. We have denominational people that are being led down the wrong stray of baptism and good works, and you talk to them and they just don't get it. Why not? Well, they're reprobate mind. That's how far away we've gotten from God in this country, as in the world. Anyway.